quite a serious topic now, the Jewish vote after Mamdani's victory. What does this mean in terms of a recalibration or not of the Jewish vote, the Jewish democratic vote, in particularly in New York in the United States of America? And to unpack that a little bit this afternoon, my next guest is on the line. He is Akiva Spiegelman. He is a media and foreign affairs advisor. Akiva, thank you for chatting to me on Chai FM this afternoon.
Thank you, Simon.
So, Akiva, what does Mamdani's triumph tell us about the changing dynamics of the Jewish vote in the United States, specifically amongst younger and progressive Jews?
Think more than anything else, it's a move into a new state of populism. Meaning, we've all seen Mamdani's ads, his promises, most of them are not even in his power to bring to fruition. A lot of the things he has to do need to be approved by the governor, who already opposes most of what he offered. But when it comes to Jewish community, as we saw, the report was that 33% of the Jewish community voted for Mamdani, which is scary in a way. But in another way, if you break down the different boroughs and see where the Jewish population, how the voting went in those areas, you can see that in the majority of the Zionist Jewish areas, they were actually voting for Cuomo. I'm going to get to Cuomo in a minute because there's problems there as well. That's a reason why Mamdani's campaign was so effective. But when you look at Kew Garden Hills, Hillcrest, Far Rockaway, Riverdale, Borough Park, Flatbush, and Crown Heights, of course, and others as well, like Woodmere and the Five Towns, you can tell the voting there was very much towards Cuomo because they understood what was going on. They understood that that things can go very much south for the Jewish community in New York. And yet again, the people who did vote for Mamdani are mostly the conservatives, and I'd also say the anti-Zionist ultra-Orthodox Jews in New York. And that's where they took their vote towards Mamdani. It's problematic. It's seen here as a shift, but we also know that one of the major collaborators of his campaign was a Jew, a Reform rabbi. And so I think there's a big rift in United States Jewry in general. I think New York as a whole is in a quite a big shift. It's not in a good state. It wasn't before, and it's not going in a good place now. And we're going to have to see how it affects the Jewish community. Right now, there isn't a major flooding from the city. There are bits and pieces, people who are making aliyah, but not in the masses. Or moving to Florida, which is probably also a thought, regardless because of taxes. And so we're gonna have to see in the next few months what exactly Mamdani brings forward to know what the future of Jewry in New York is going to look like.
Akiva, were you surprised that such a significant portion of young Jews voted for a candidate? I mean, I get the populism and I get why that was appealing. My goodness me, I've paid $7 for a coffee in New York. I know what he's talking about. But I mean, the guy is anti-Israel. He supports BDS and he hasn't condemned globalized the Intifada. I mean, how do 30% of New York Jews vote for a candidate like that? My brain still can't understand it. Is it a
It's
failure in
quite scary. It's
education?
also somewhat alarming as well to see young Jews who their future is way before them. There's a lot going on. They have a lot to hold on to. And whether or not they're looking at Israel as their next home or not, it's hard to know what they were thinking when they were voting for somebody who clearly doesn't have their core values at heart. What I can say in their defense is that in the end, they were voting for the mayor of their city and not necessarily voting regarding the Jewish issue, which is hard to differentiate between. But when it comes down to, like you said, the cost of living, they were looking at the fact that they can't buy an apartment, they can't buy food in a normal pace. Education is skyrocketing, especially private education, which is what most Jewish, at least religious Jews are looking for. And so I think they might have put their best financial interests at front temporarily. I don't think it was a smart move, but it might have been what led them. I really hope they don't find out the hard way that they made a mistake, but it seems that it might have been very much financially based.
Is this generational? Do the stats bear that out? Is there a generational split reflected in the Jewish American vote? And as a follow-on to that, what does this mean for the future of the Democratic Party in New York in particular?
Historically, we know that the Jewish community has usually voted Democrat. But in recent years, when we see the types of people the Democratic Party are bringing forward, whether it's AOC, whether it's Jamal Bauman, whether it's Hakeem Jeffries, by the way, all New York representatives who have very much little to do with the Jewish community. And so I think we're seeing a shift also during the elections a year ago when President Trump was elected. I think that was a realization that the Democratic Party is not going in a good direction. People have also referred to previous President Biden as the last Zionist Democrat. And we see that the politics are always shifting there, and especially in recent years. And it's a pendulum swing. We see they go to certain extremes. I think Trump is also an extreme in certain senses. And at some point, it's going to go the other way. And when it does, it might be a very dangerous place for Jews, not only in New York, but everywhere. We see California is already very problematic with its progressive values, and it's very, forget about the taxes and all. It's very hard to live in California as a Jew. It's almost impossible. And so I think we're seeing a generational shift, and we don't really know where it's going to end up. We do have some admirable political characters in the Democratic Party, such as Josh Shapiro, not Josh Shapiro, the governor of Pennsylvania, and the way that things are going over there, they're saying he may be the future of the Democratic Party. Again, we don't know, but as we can see right now, the Democratic leaders that are arising are not ones who are looking at Israel's best interest. I'm not sure that they're so connected to the youth. And so we're going to have to see in the next few years where that goes. If you also look at Minnesota, it's a whole ball of wax of immigrants from Somalia who've taken over major parts of the city. Now the person who was running for mayor, they're lost, but it's only a matter of time. It's a numbers game in the end. And so I think America is in a total whirlwind of its own that we need to keep a very close eye on.
How are Jewish communal organizations reacting to this change?
Are you talking about New York or in
I'm
general?
thinking about, yeah, no, New York in particular. I just recall having seen, I think it was Greenblatt talking about putting up some sort of a platform where you can report anti-Semitic incidents. And it seems to me from Africa, very far away, that they're being quite proactive.
Right. So the ADL has always been very active in that front. But it's also we've seen some other more voices that have been more reluctant, but have shifted since October 7th. If you saw Rabbi Ami Hirsch's speech he
Yes, I
gave on
did.
Shabbat
Yes. I was
regarding
quite
the so
surprised because that was a
that's
reform
very telling.
rabbi. Yeah.
Right. So if that's a very major shul and a very known rabbi going so far against an elected official in New York, it raises questions of where exactly it's going to go in recent years. I think that's the beginning of an understanding that we're seeing of a major shift. And I hope it just becomes more and more apparent to people that they need to stand up and make their voice known in order for Madmani not to be able to show his true colors, which he already has to an extent, but we have to keep him in check. And I think the voice of Rabbi Ami Hirsch is very important in that.
A final question for you. Have Israelis got reason to be concerned?
I don't think so. Like I said at the beginning, New York is an international metropolitan. Obviously, we've spoken a lot about the fact that it's a financially run metropolitan, and there's a lot of business there. I don't think the mayor-elect, he threatened that he would stop Israeli soldiers, IDF troops, and he would stop Prime Minister Netanyahu. He doesn't have that authority. Like I said, he doesn't have the authority to hire taxes. He doesn't have the authority to do a lot of things he wants to do. If any leader comes to the United Nations, that's off limits to the mayor of New York. And that's where I think we need to put this into proportion. He is a mayor of one of the major cities in the world, but he's not in a position to make major change. We've seen Mayor Adams, who was very pro-Israel, But one of his most memorable campaigns is was about garbage collection. And so he needs to first make sure that the city is cleaned up. I've been to New York a bunch of times in the last few years. It's almost unrecognizable from where I was when I was younger. And I think there's a lot of work to do. It doesn't necessarily get solved by the solutions he raised, but the cities are not clean right now. The subway is very dangerous, where it wasn't always like that. And so I think before he starts acting against Israel and taking out funds from successful high-tech companies that
Interesting.
have ties in Israel, I think he should start making sure New York is clean and safe for its residents.
Spiegelman, that was really interesting. Thank you for your time this afternoon.
Thank you. I appreciate it.